Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my effervescent partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Erev Tov to all, and we are very happy you're joining us tonight as we look more into the rapture and discuss what happens even after the rapture. But first, let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, we do anxiously await our catching away to our mansions in the sky and to see your wonderful face. Until then, we will trust you and will never doubt your holy promises of gathering us together to escape the coming tribulation. Thank you for our many blessings and answered prayers. And in these last days, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, and may your Spirit also bend the ears of our lost loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Well, tonight we will continue speaking on the rapture and the events following, and next week we will study in contextual detail 2 Thessalonians 2 that confirms what happens when the restrainer is removed and the man of perdition is unveiled. But we'll begin tonight with some news, starting with Israel, where Prime Minister Netanyahu is on the verge of losing his premiership.
Yeah, tomorrow is the deadline.
Yes. He has not been able to pull together the necessary seats for a government.
Just too short.
Mm-hmm. It appears that the next government will actually be a shared split between the Lapid left and the Bennett right.
Unheard of, actually.
Yes. But perhaps more congenial to Bible prophecy of giving more land away as part of a peace treaty, especially East Jerusalem, where the temple once stood on the mount. So the probable new government will present its seats to President Rivlin by tomorrow.
Well, but then there's still a week for the Knesset to vote.
Right. So we'll wait, and I guess we'll just wait and address all this in 2 weeks when the dust settles and we're sure Netanyahu doesn't pull a rabbit out of his hat. But I assure you of this, just like Trump, Bibi isn't going away.
The comparisons are remarkable to watch.
And all under the eye of God to fulfill his prophecies, because the giving away sovereignty over any part of Jerusalem will be the last straw.
Joel 3 and Ezekiel 36.
And then heading for the war of Ezekiel 38.
Gog and Magog.
But right now we are in another kind of war. You know, we have been conditioned to believe that war is about bullets, bombs, and grenades. However, the war we are fighting today, it's for our obedience, our mind,
and freedom,
and our constitution, and ultimately one's soul. You know, yesterday we memorialized those who fought in conventional war, but today we pray against the current tyranny being foisted among us.
Marxism is on the rise.
And reports of adverse reactions to the vaccines are increasing daily.
Well, you know, almost 5,000 have died already.
But that's probably a low number. You know, many deaths are not reported as coming from the vaccines, and almost 300,000 reported adverse reactions.
Again, many are not being recorded.
You know, our daughter has a friend who said she witnessed her friend showing how a magnet stuck to her arm the day after receiving a COVID vaccine, proving metal nanoparticles are involved.
You know, it kind of reminds me of the iron mixed with the clay.
Absolutely. And with artificial intelligence chips made of metal are ready to be implanted in your head. We must be very near the trumpet sound.
Which is a great segue into tonight's study.
That it is. And let me add that their agenda of the World Economic Forum, you know, remember Claus, Schwab? Their agenda is to be completed by 2030. And now you can read this on their own website. And it's called the Great Reset, but that's just another term for the One World Government.
And the New World Order.
And the One World Religion, all tied together in a pretty bow. It's all very easy to see if you want to look.
Some don't.
Well, we do, because we are excited about what all this really means.
Well, before we get into tonight's study, we had a question come in, since you've been doing a lot of research, to explain in layman terms what the vaccines do.
Well, the mRNA vaccines uses a synthetic code.
Like a recipe.
Mm-hmm. A synthetic, which means, of course, not from nature, more like a GMO. You know, originally, our God created our bodies with a great immune system.
Even greater if properly maintained with good nutrition.
Mm-hmm. So, when our body encounters a foreign matter, you know, like a germ or a bacteria, etc., it usually just takes care of it.
You know, we are miraculously made.
You think? But these vaccines are made to bypass the natural function of our immune system. They say to make a better way of killing COVID, should one come in contact with this so-called virus, which is really, in my mind, a bioweapon.
So, how does the vaccine bypass our natural immune system?
By suppressing it. Mm. By wrapping this code with a nanolipid particle within a petroleum-derived, and highly allergic to some people, polyethylene glycol.
Which is nanotechnology.
Right, extremely microscopic. These nanochip particles suppress or bypass the immune system, allowing this code to get into the cytoplasm of one cell to make spike proteins, which should kill COVID and hopefully does not proceed further into one's cells, invading the nucleus, which can cause great harm and could even change your DNA.
Which they insist it won't do.
Because that would be called genetic manipulation.
And very illegal.
Mm-hmm. But again, the vaccines, even the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca, which also produces the spike protein, but they just use a different method, none are FDA approved. The shots are still experimental for emergency use only. And since they cook the books, claim COVID-19 needed emergency vaccinations, ignoring the wonderful treatments already available after you get COVID.
As we saw in President Trump.
Mm-hmm. Those in hospitals who went on ventilators, they were treated way too late and was not the proper treatment. We have a lot more data today, and for sure vaccines should never be mandated.
Vaccines will prove to be worse than getting the actual COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are many different side effects.
Mm-hmm. There are. Depending on the environment, of course, of one's body, which cells these particles decide to invade, we don't really know. You know, I saw on Daystar TV someone with neurological tremors. She was shaking uncontrollably all over.
Many with blood disorders.
Yes. More in Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca, this blood clotting that can affect even the brain, the legs, vessels to the heart. And because their own immune system is now suppressed, it's pretty hard to fight. Bottom line, even if you are fine for a while after any shot, maybe even a year or two, when the next virus comes along or any disease, you have a compromised immune system, like a person having HIV. And in fact, already according to the American Journal of Managed Care, some people have since tested positive for HIV, which you all know is a human immune virus infection.
As in AIDS.
Mm-hmm. But they claim it's a false positive. Then there's also miscarriages and suspected infertility down the road, and we won't even go there to what high exposures to 5G can do after a vaccine.
Nope, we better move on.
I agree.
Okay, if you have an end time question or comment, there are three ways to connect with us. You can email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office And please, be sure to leave a very detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And prayerfully consider tucking in a gift of love, which you can also do on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which automatically adds your name to our mailing list for news updates and monthly teaching letters.
Okay. All right, so we covered many Old Testament scriptures last week with some confirming verses in the New Testament as well. But we're saving 2 Thessalonians 2 for next week because we need the whole half hour. So tonight we will address God's timeline, where we are today, and also after that.
Well, I know today we are in the third chapter of Revelation.
Of course, awaiting the call, which will begin chapter 4, come up here, just as John heard as a typology for our calling.
And nothing has to happen before the rapture can occur, right?
Well, that's our belief, except Jesus did say there would be accumulative and contemporaneous signs, so we would be more enthusiastically expecting him.
Hebrew 10 does tell us that we will see the day approaching.
True. But many of us who fervently study prophecy are looking for the most clearest sign of all.
Daniel 9:27.
Yes, and we talk about that a lot, and we referred to it last week as well. That infamous treaty talked about for decades.
So, where are we today with that?
Well, the Abraham Accords was a good start, but it did not include the Palestinians, who are the ones, along with the Pope, who really want East Jerusalem to include the Temple Mount. Not that they must have sovereignty over the Mount, but just that Israel couldn't either.
Therefore, make it international.
Most likely, at least at first. The Arabs in the Abraham Accords really don't care so much anymore about the Temple Mount, and lately have said so. They are more concerned in getting Israel to take care of Iran.
That is probably why God allowed Trump to lose the election.
Well, he did just sidestep the Palestinians. And now we are hearing once again, as in other past administrations, that Biden is talking of this two-state solution and giving the Palestinians East Jerusalem for their capital. Remember, as we have said before, when they moved our embassy to Jerusalem, that was West Jerusalem. Palestinians don't really care about that.
Right. They want East Jerusalem.
Yes. And to jump ahead a bit, Satan, through the Antichrist, wants the Temple Mount to build the temple, but to make the Jews think it's for them, but allowing all peoples to use it. And since there will be a one-world religion, the Jews will have no problem with that. Then, at the 3.5-year mark, the Antichrist will sit on the throne.
And declare himself God, demanding worship.
And if not, they won't be able to buy or sell because their mark, or their chip, or you could call it artificial intelligence, they'll just disconnect it and won't be connected to the main computer. Revelation 13.
Okay, what happens first when we are snatched away?
Well, of course, we meet Jesus in the air and are given new resurrected bodies, along with the other righteous dead, for they too will now receive their resurrected bodies. Jesus presents us to the Father.
Daniel 7:9 and Revelation 4.
Yeah, we see the court is seated. Jesus is crowned king. Our rewards are given to us. Our marriage takes place. And our honeymoon, or Shavuot, begins, which, according to Jewish law...
And Jesus was a Jew.
That's right. So this is important for prophecy teachers to get hold of. Honeymoons were never considered legal unless... they lasted for a period of 7, a complete number. Now, usually it was 7 days or 1 week, a Shavuot in Hebrew, but it could be 7 weeks if they were wealthy, and in our case, it'll be 7 years. Conveniently, while the wrath of God is being poured out on earth.
Well, you know, a great example of that is taken from Jacob and Leah.
Right. In Genesis 29, when Jacob found out he was married to Leah instead of Rachel, Jacob was very angry with her father, her father Laban, because he worked for 7 years for Rachel's hand. Remember that? How about read that in Genesis 29, 26 through 28.
Laban said to Jacob, "It must not be done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week."
Shavuot, Hebrew.
"And I will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled Leah's week. So Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife also.
Some so-called prophecy teachers that say the tribulation is only for 3.5 years, they just don't know their Hebrew roots from the first century. Our honeymoon must be for 7 and nothing less.
And there were some changes made during the Dark Ages.
Yes, which is why we should only stick with the teachings known when Jesus walked, which makes for our better understanding of the last days. I learned a lot from many different mentors who are all deceased now, but we do recommend the 3-volume set called Judaism in the First Century.
By George Foote Moore.
Right. And you know what? He finally finished that masterpiece back in 1927. Anyhow, as we quoted from Isaiah 26:20 last week, after the wedding we enter into the bridal chamber called the Hadar until the indignation on earth is over.
Revelation 19, we return.
Mm-hmm. So scripture is not real detailed, but I suspect there will be many Hadars, or mansions as we like to call them, already prepared for us. Just like in Jewish law.
Jesus is also given the 7 seals of judgment.
Right. The scroll of Revelation 5 to be released upon the earth, 1 seal at a time. The first seal unleashed is the Antichrist seen riding on a white horse because he is a counterfeit Messiah who signs the peace treaty with Israel.
Daniel 9:27.
Can't say that enough. And by the way, there is no reference as to how much time is set between each seal of Revelation 6. But just before the judgment begins, according to Revelation 7, there are 144,000 Orthodox religious Israelites on earth that will quickly, after the church departs, recognize their Messiah.
12,000 from each tribe.
They are called the first fruits, Revelation 14:4, to be saved and sealed with protection in what is now the 7th millennium.
How do you think they were saved?
Well, no one knows for sure, so I can only surmise from typology that, again, has helped us immensely to connect many end-time dots. In this instance, I think of Elijah and Elisha.
Yeah, Elisha saw Elijah go up to heaven.
Yes, so possibly the 144,000 will have spiritual eyes to see the rapture and then receive a double anointing like Elisha to then replace the raptured church to continue evangelizing and will save numerous tribulation saints, many that will have already heard the gospel.
So the seeds were planted.
Yes. The seeds that many worldwide are planting right now that haven't sprouted yet. And many will when they remember what the believers have been telling them.
So keep evangelizing.
I say amen. So back to when we leave. Things will be very hectic on earth, and many Jews will be fleeing to Israel, especially from America, which will soon be attacked, therefore worthless. Jeremiah 30, verse 11. So as the book of Revelation continues, we are in heaven enjoying our Shavuah, our honeymoon, learning all about Jesus and our future roles as a ruling queen when we return to earth as immortals in new resurrected bodies. But the labor pains begin slowly, just like a woman in labor. Matthew 24 spells it out nicely. But by the second or third year, the war of Gog and Magog breaks out. The Lord, though, steps in to defend Israel. And according to Ezekiel 38:23, from then on, they recognize their Savior. Also, Ezekiel 39:22 confirms that again. That's when they will get saved. And it's also confirmed in Revelation 12, verse 17. Read that when you get a chance. Anyhow, they will quickly read the New Testament, especially Matthew, which just happens to be the first book in the New Testament, which tells them in verse 15, when they see the abomination of desolation, in other words, the Antichrist declaring himself God in the temple. I believe that's probably on a Palm Sunday, but that's for another study. Scripture tells them to flee to the mountains, which is down south, and I'm convinced that it's the same area that God protected them before when they fled Egypt. History repeats, and in this case, it's another great example of typology. I just don't believe it's at Petra, because God wants to provide everything once again for them. Today in Petra, they have running water, lots of stored food, and even bathrooms. I was there, and it is amazing, but too obvious for the Antichrist army who will be following. However, Revelation 12:16 says the earth opens up and the dragon cannot continue to follow them any longer. Let me read Revelation 12 to you. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and, here it comes, have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, confirmation that the Jews are saved when they flee to the mountains, as they were told to do in Matthew 24 for the last half of the tribulation. So those that think the bride is still here during the tribulation, well, when they read Matthew 24, they say, oh, that's referring to the church fleeing. They are so wrong. For why would we care if it was a Sabbath, which in verse 20, he says to pray it is not. No, these are definitely Messianic Jews. And at the end of the tribulation, Revelation 19, we return with Jesus, as we are now called his wife, verse 7. The great trump is sounded in Matthew 24:31. The elect sheep are gathered to his right. That would be the tribulation saints. And the 144,000, they are separated from the goats who went to his left and into the fire, Matthew 25:41, to join the Antichrist and the false prophet. And Revelation 19:20 says, Satan is then bound in chains for the remainder of the millennial kingdom. So Jerusalem is lifted higher with no other surrounding hills as we rule and reign from Jerusalem over the remaining mortals who will reproduce, but without pain, nor their children bring forth trouble, Isaiah 65:23. At the end of this seventh millennium, Satan will be let loose for a short time to test the mortals to be sure they are worthy to enter eternity. And God has not told us yet what eternity brings. But you can be sure he has a wonderful plan for all of us. Our time is out. I want to finish by reading the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, that's Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in many different ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. Okay, we'll see you next time. Tune in next week for 2 Thessalonians 2 and tell your friends. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.